on the miracles of Jesus. The miracles of Jesus. How many of you believe and know that Jesus is still doing miracles today? You know, he died on the cross, but he didn't stay dead. He rose again, went to be at the right hand of the Father. And he even says in John 14:12, he that believes in me, the same works I do, he shall do, and even greater works, because I've gone to the Father. Now, Jesus said that. And you can water that down, twist that any way you want it, but he meant what he said, and that can blow your mind, the capacity of what you can do, but you can only do it because the Holy Ghost is in you. It's actually Jesus in you doing it still, okay? It's not you, it's Jesus, and by your faith. I want to clarify that. So, yes, he's still doing miracles. How many of you seen Jesus do some mind-blowing miracles in your life? I could write a book. In fact, everybody keeps telling me to write a book. I should write a book. It wouldn't be a hard book to write because I wouldn't have to do any study, and I lived them and watched and seen God do all kinds of things and still doing them to this day. So we're gonna go to Mark chapter 4, verse 35 today. And the title of my message, which will give you a clue to what we'll be preaching about, is Peace Be Still. Peace Be Still. We've had more of a quiet service today. I noticed that. Some services are really exuberant and a lot of noise. This morning is a little more settled down and quiet. And there are times that the Lord wants us to be that way. Yeah. Amen. To hear his voice and to calm our souls. Then there's times for great praise. You know, I went for the first time, and I've never been a real women's pro basketball fan, but I was invited by a couple of people that had season tickets to the Fever game last Wednesday, and of course I jinxed them. They lost by about 20 points. But you know, it was kids' day out there. Young people of all ages, and a lot of the church camps, that was their activity. They sent them in to watch that game. You would not believe how loud that was. In fact, when I walked in that stadium, I said, Lord, am I going to be able to handle this? I'm an old man. I'm kind of feeble. It was too much. It was just closing, overwhelming. Yeah, but it was. I got in there, and it wasn't long before I was yelling myself, you know, even though they lost. But anyway, we should be more like that in church. Thank you. We should be more like that in church because we are worshiping not just a basketball going through a hoop, right? We're praising a King of Kings and Lord of Lords that has died in our place, rose again, so we could live. Boy, now that's getting a little too bright. You might turn that down a little bit. Unless you want, I'm under interrogation light up here. Anyway, why are we not more excited in church over Jesus than a basketball game or a football game or something like that, you know, or it was pretty wild in there. But I remember the day that I went to I like baseball actually, and I went to a St. Louis Cardinals game, and there were 30-some thousand people in that place, and out of all the people, I'm just telling you this to get you to laugh. Then we're going to get into God's word, and this is going to be a it's going to be a good message, too. It's not going to be a freak you out, scare you half to death message. It's going to be one that should give you some hope, right, Karen? But anyway, I'm in this baseball stadium, all these people, and here comes this mascot, the Red Bird, Fred Bird, whatever he's called. He comes up into the audience, and he comes up the aisle, and he stops, and he looks up my aisle. Now, this is during the seventh inning stretch time, and the TV camera's on this silly big bird. And he looks like he's looking at me, but you can't really tell because he's got this big beak and head thing on. And I went, and he goes, big mistake. He goes into the crowd. He's climbing on my back. He's trying to stick a big comb on my head. He's doing all this stuff, and the crowd is roaring. Now, back then, I lived in Evansville, and a lot of people down there, saying this for Adam's benefit, they like St. Louis teams because, you know, it's straight across the interstate over there. You would not believe what work was like Monday morning when I walked in. People that were watching that game and national TV, and here's this silly bird all over me, and I didn't need Didn't need to have anything put on me that was red. My face was so red, you probably, you know, I was so embarrassed. I always ask the Lord, you know, out of all people, how does this happen? Why does this happen? You know, you ever wonder that? Well, let's get into God's Word. Mark 4, 35 through 41. On the same day when evening had come, he said to them, "Let us cross over to the other side." Now, when they had left the multitude, they took him along in the boat as he was, and other little boats were also with him. And a great windstorm arose, and the waves beat into the boat so that it was already filling. But he was in the stern, asleep on a pillow. Imagine that. All this going on. There's the King of Kings, the God of the universe, dwelling in the form of man, back there just peacefully sleeping in the boat. And they awoke him and said to him, "Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing?" Now, there's nothing like being out in a little boat, and it's about ready to capsize. And look, these people didn't have any life jackets either. And to them, they were going to die. But here's what Jesus did. Then he arose and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, "Peace, be still." And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. But he said to them, "Why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith?" Now here's these fragile human beings going through this. And Jesus is telling them, "Why are you fearful? Why are you fearful? Where's your faith?" Now, I might be sitting there going, "Wow, Lord, that's kind of harsh. I mean, you were back there sleeping, and by what we're thinking, you know, this might be our appointed time to go. I don't know." And they feared exceedingly, and this time their fear was of God. The fear of God came on them. And they said to one another, "Who can this be that even the wind and the sea obey him?" There's so many things we can learn from this passage of Scripture and this miracle. So I'm going to break this down and let's really look at this passage today. It's not as simple as you might think. There's a lot of things in here God wants you to learn. So let's go back in this verse at the beginning, and it says, "On the same day when evening had come, he said to them, 'Let us cross over to the other side.'" Now think about this. He's the one that asked them to go to the other side. He, being God, already knew there would be a storm. Yet he's saying, "Let's cross over." So many people think that when they hear Jesus call them to go somewhere or do something, they get the call of God, that the way to determine if they heard God's voice was to see if, quote, the weather is good. You think, okay, God's calling me to such and such, so there should always be smooth sailing. There should be no tribulation. Nothing happened. God's called me after all. And if something happens, well, it must not be God's will because it's raining. I thought he wanted me to do that. It must not be God's will because I'm getting this resistance over here. Must not be God's will. You can go on and on. In other words, people try to judge the will of God by how easy the road is after they're called. Do we forget that we also have an enemy that would wage war on us and do his best to stop us? Not all your calamity and resistance is God. In fact, often it's just the opposite. God has called you, Satan don't like it, and he wants to stop you. Right, brother? He wants to stop you. The very fact that problems arise when we are obeying God can often tell us that we definitely are on the right track. Remember Paul being called to go to Rome, and he's on his way, and he goes to Greece first, and he gets into the whole ship breaks apart, and he floats to shore on a board, should have drowned. Then he gets on shore, and then here comes this snake out of the rocks, bites him, should have killed him within minutes, and he just shakes it off in the fire. By the way, that's what Jesus meant when he said they'll take up serpents. Paul didn't go looking for that snake and wrap it around his head and play with it. It came out and bit him, and God protected him. So that's what the Lord meant there. But what if Paul said, I must have missed God. Why has all this stuff happened to me? He had an enemy. Enemy was out to kill him. He didn't want Paul preaching the gospel. Do you wonder if those men in the boat who were his disciples thought and questioned Jesus taking them to the other side if he knew a storm was coming. Like, why did you get us out of this? Could you have waited maybe half an hour and let it go on through? Gosh, I there's so many areas I want to go. Remember the day I was, and this is so different because I don't think God was leading this pilot to take the plane off into this storm down in Dallas. I'm on this crowded plane. Angela can relate to this since she flies everywhere all the time. I get in this plane and I sit down. A lot of you heard this story, some of you have not, so I'm going to tell it again. Crowded plane, and we see off in the distance lightning bolts shooting across the sky. Terrible Texas storm coming. Black clouds. We're backed up on the tarmac. You know, the planes are all in front of us, not taking off. And I thought, well, they're gonna wait till the storm comes through. And I get my seat in the back, of course. So nothing like being in the back of the plane. And I'm sitting in the seat, and it's one of those sardine things. You're just crammed in. You talk about a colostomy nightmare. But all of a sudden, in my mind's eye, and I'm not given to a lot of visions, but I saw briefly. It was like the electrical system on the plane was gonna go out. And I wasn't even thinking of anything but that. And I blurt out, "It's not going to happen in Jesus' name." And now people are staring at me on the plane. Oh, great. We're all crammed in here. There's a storm out there. Now we got a nut on the plane, right? I didn't think because, man, it was coming. I just saw this. It was so real to me. Well, guess what? They didn't wait. They took off right into that thing. I still would like to talk to that pilot. We got into that storm, and it was doing one of these crazy things. And you couldn't see the wing of the plane because it was raining so hard. And people were a nervous wreck. And then this poor guy to the right of me starts coughing. And he's an older fella. And I think, okay, you want to get comfort somebody else on. So I'm trying to comfort this old guy. And then the guy in front of me, it's funny what people do when things are tense. Talk about this boat situation where they're about to capsize. We were like that in the air. And this guy comes up over the seat to this poor old man in front of us. He comes up over the seat at him, and he leans over in his face while we're ready to go down in a ball of flames. And he says to the guy, "Do you ever cover your mouth when you cough?" Now that made me mad. This might not have been real Christian of me, but I do not like to see people get picked on. That old man was a nervous wreck. We were all a nervous wreck. So I look up in the guy's face, and I go, he goes, "You ever cover your mouth in a cough?" And I go, "No, he don't, and you're going to get sick." Yes, I did. God used that in the weirdest of ways. We were all nervous, and people started laughing. The guy shut up, turned around, and sat down and behaved himself. Right about that time, lightning smacks the plane, kaboom, and it sounded like a big balloon popping. And of course, the women screamed, and the plane kind of shuddered. And I thought, "Oh, is this it, Lord? I thought my death would glorify you. This doesn't sound real exciting." And I just got through yelling at that guy in the seat in front of me, and I'm feeling condemned. But boom, it hit the plane. And I'm just thinking, "Lord, are we going to get out of this thing alive?" And nothing happened except a weird occurrence. As we finally got out of the storm, this noise started going up and down the plane. Pop, 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 snap, 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 up and down the plane, up in the thing. And we're all going, "What is that? What's going on?" So then the pilot gets on, and he's trying to comfort us. And he says, "I suppose you're wondering what this noise is." He says, "Actually, we're wondering the same thing." And I'm thinking, "Oh, that's great. The pilot don't even know." But here's what he said that's significant, and this is tying into my message. This is going to segue back into the message, I promise. Remember that I had rebuked whatever was going to happen in the electrical system of the plane. I didn't know all that was going to happen. I wanted to say, "Can I get off this plane?" You know. He said, "I suppose you're wondering what this noise is." He says, "We are too." He says, "The only thing we can understand," he says, "you all know we had a direct hit on the lightning. We got hit bad with lightning." And he said, "The good news is it looks like our electrical system is intact." He mentioned it. And then I'm just kind of looking around at everybody, you know, because I had rebuked that thing in front of everybody before the plane took off. But they never did know that. He goes, we don't really know what it is, but everything's in good shape. And we went on to Ontario, California. And even though it was California, I wanted to kiss the ground when I got off the plane. That was terrible. I shouldn't have said it that way. Well, they're out in this boat. They probably question Jesus, why is he getting us out in this storm? In fact, you know, when I was going to California in that flight, I was doing that because God wanted me to go see my sister. So the question comes to you, why is this happening, God? And a lot of people go as far as to say, God, why did you do this to me? Do you know that it isn't always God doing that to you? It's the devil. He's trying to stop you. Now, Jesus knew that storm was coming. And let's clear up a matter right here and now, which I've talked about before, and this might rock some doctrinal boats this morning. I don't believe it was the Father that sent that storm on that boat. Why would Jesus rebuke what the Father sent? I believe it was Satan who sent this storm, not God the Father. If God the Father sent the storm, then Jesus would have to rebuke what the Father sent and go against his will. Think about it, and let's prove it out by Scripture. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1 through 3. This year's been a real troubling year. We've had a lot of tornadoes, and here we've seen this tragedy in Texas. And there's a lot of people blaming God for this and wondering why. We have also an enemy of our souls that is out to destroy us. We're in a battle. And we need to understand this. But here's what Paul says in Ephesians 2, 1 through 3. And you he made alive, which were dead in trespasses and sins, in which you once walked according to the course of this world, and I underline this, according to the prince and power of the what? Air. He's talking about Satan, the prince and power of the air, the atmosphere. The spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience, among whom also we once conducted ourselves in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, just as the others. So we find that Satan is the prince and power of the air. Now, he's not going to be forever. There's going to come a time where he's bound 1,000 years and then eternally judged. But when we turn this world over to the enemy by trusting his words through the serpent, way back in the garden, it put the whole world under. And there's places in the Bible that talk about Satan being the ruler of this present world. We're going to talk about that a little bit. Because Satan is the prince and power of the air, he has had power to wreak havoc even in the weather. Let's look at what he did to Job's house through the weather. Let's go to Job chapter 1. You know what happened to Job, right? Satan went before God and said, he's perfect and upright, but I can get him to turn on you. And so he went after Job. And look at the things Satan had the power to do. And I'm just going to lift this one thing out in verse 12. He did a lot of other things, including sickness. And a lot of people always blame God when they get sick. And I can tell you, the enemy puts sickness on people. But this is what it says. And the Lord said unto Satan, behold, all that he hath is in your power, only upon himself put not forth your hand. So Satan went forth from the presence of the Lord. Now we know Satan attacked Job with sickness and did a number of terrible things. Let's see here, but he couldn't get to his soul, and that's what God was meaning. Being the prince and power of the air, he sent a tornado on Job's house. Don't believe me? Let's read it. Verse 18 and 19. While he was yet speaking, there came also another and said, your sons and your daughters were eating and drinking wine in their eldest brother's house. And behold, there came a great wind from the wilderness and smote the four corners of the house. In other words, it was like a tornado. Hit all four corners at once. And Satan did it. So let's get our theology straight and not always blame God when we have, sure, he allows things in wrath sometimes, but you can't always blame God for all these tragedies. We're in a fallen world. So a great wind came from the wilderness and smote the four corners of the house, and it fell upon the young men, and they are dead, and I'm the only one that escaped alone to tell you. But it was Satan that did that, the prince and power of the air. The word also mentions that Satan has been the ruler of this world. You didn't believe me a few minutes ago? John 12:31. Jesus said this, "Now is the judgment of this world. Now will the ruler of this world be cast out." This verse indicates that Satan's authority is being challenged and ultimately will be removed. John 14:30, "I will not speak with you much longer, for the ruler of this world is coming. He has no power over me." This passage shows that while Satan is the ruler, he has no claim over Jesus. John 16:11, this verse, like John 12:31, speaks of the ruler of this world being judged. Same thing. 2 Corinthians 4:4, this verse calls Satan the god of this world and explains that he blinds the minds of unbelievers, preventing them from seeing the truth of the gospel. Sounds depressing, doesn't it? Because guess where we're living? And you wonder why so much calamity and terrible things happen. Why demons get in people and there's such horrific, awful crimes. All you got to do is turn the news on, and sometimes you want to turn it back off because you see Satan at work. Sounds depressing, but guess what? There's good news, Christian. I'm not going to say end of message, you're dismissed, and leave you like that. There's good news. He's not the ruler of the kingdom we believers are in. You get that? He is not the ruler of the kingdom you and I are in through Jesus Christ. In fact, we have power over him by the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Remember, Jesus said his kingdom is not of this world, and neither should yours be. There's a lot of people that believe a lot of weird doctrines in Christendom today, kingdom now theology, where they're trying to take over the world for Jesus and then present to him a world that all belongs to us. That's not how it's going to happen. That's a weird theology. There's people living like they're going to be on this present earth forever when we got to let loose of this and leave it all behind because it's going to be judged. It's going to be destroyed. You shouldn't be trying to build your kingdom here on earth. You should be building his kingdom, which will be in heaven forever and ever with a new heaven and a new earth. We believe are not of this world either. So we are not subject to the current ruler of this fallen world. Did you get what I'm saying? We are not at his mercy. Any more than I was at his mercy, although you can kind of feel like it. You're sitting in this little tin can of a plane, and it's pitching all around, and you know who the prince and power of the air is, and it looks like he's got the upper hand, and then lightning smacks the plane, and some nuts in front of you trying to pick on an old man, and you think, oh my goodness, is this how it's going to end? I was not subject to the enemy there. I took authority over him before that plane ever took off, and we landed safely. This is why it's important that you are in tune with the Holy Spirit. I often wonder how many things could be averted, even plane crashes, if Christians were in tune and did some warfare and prayer over the plane before it ever took off. I mean, think about that. You want to tell me all that's God's will? No. The thief comes but to rob, kill, steal, and destroy. Jesus said, "I have come that they may have life and have it more abundantly." So we're not subject to the ruler of this fallen world. We have power over the enemy of our souls, and Jesus said that, I give you power to tread on scorpions and over all power of the enemy, and nothing by any means shall hurt you. That's what he said. I didn't say it, Jesus said it. Consider this little older lady, little old Pentecostal lady, down in around Liberty, Kentucky. And I think she was the kind that had the bun on her head. No makeup, no jewelry. Didn't matter because she had faith in Jesus. Imagine this little old lady reading the words we read this morning where Jesus said, "Peace be still." Imagine a big, big tornado up in the sky coming right down on her house. Imagine this little lady standing on her front porch and rebuking that thing, praying in the Spirit. What do you think happened to her house? Let's watch. I want you to put in the video. There's a tornado video. Some of you have seen it. I love playing. It's probably about the third time I've played it in church. Watch this.
Take it away from us, Lord. Take it away from us, Jesus. Oh, yes, you are so many. I shine. My God, power in your son's name. Take it.
What do you think the outcome of that was? Did not touch her house. That thing went around it. This got on national news, and some of them let her actually pray in tongues on the air. A lot of them cut that out. Went around her house. It didn't come down until it got clear off of her property. Now, I say do that when you have faith to do that. Don't be stupid. But if you have faith and he's telling you, he's going to protect you. And that's what this lady did. And you have that power. She understood her authority. Hardcore, man. I love that kind of faith. I'd like to meet that lady. Can you imagine her praying for you? Woo! Well, I mentioned this before. How did Satan gain control of this world? It happened when mankind believed the words of the devil more than God way back in the Garden of Eden. We once had dominion over this earth, but handed it over to Satan when Adam and Eve trusted his lying tongue. There will come a day when the Lord returns and we are taken out of here, that it will begin the actual physical judgment of Satan and all his followers and the fallen angels. Then the Lord will reign 1,000 years as we move into a different age. That is another subject for another time, and I can never wrap my head around the 1,000-year reign. I would leave that sermon to Marvin. Marvin can handle that one. I've never totally understood that period, Marvin. So let's go back to the book of Mark where Jesus calmed the storm. And I'm going to read on a little bit. Now, when they had left the multitude, they took him along in the boat as he was, and other little boats were also with him, and a great windstorm arose, and the waves beat into the boat so that it was already filling. So now water's filling up this boat. But he was in the storm asleep on the pillow. Have you ever experienced trouble in your life, and it seemed everything was out of control, and it seemed like God was far away, even asleep to your condition? You prayed, and you heard nothing? Where are you, God? Are you asleep? How come you're not? Look at me, God. Look at where I'm at. How many of you felt that way? Well, some of you are not telling me the truth. They were experiencing that. They wondered why he's back there sleeping. I wanted to bring that out because guess what? God already knows. He's not sleeping like you think. He wants you to have faith. If you've ever been away from a shoreline and a big storm comes where water is filling your boat and you're about to capsize, you will know that what these men went through. Now, that Sea of Galilee doesn't look very big when you're there, but what I'm told is that when it's kind of like Wren Lake in southern Illinois, it does the same thing. When winds and stuff come, those waves get just deadly on that lake. When Jesus went to sleep in the back of the boat, I can assure you he knew that a storm was coming. Knew it already. He knew exactly what he would do, and he was never going to let them perish. When you go into your storms of life, he already knows you're going into your storms of life. And if you have your hand in his and you're trusting him, he is not going to let you perish. He's not going to let you perish. Gosh, driving out of Frankfort, Indiana one day in my little old AT&T repair van. And there was a storm and it was really bad, and I was just heading out of town back when I think it was 28, only had 2 lanes. I couldn't see a thing. I wasn't going to stop because I thought somebody had rammed me from behind. It was raining so hard and I just kept edging along, driving even slower than I normally drive, and praying in tongues. Didn't know, I had to get out to the interstate. I didn't want to stop out there. I didn't know what to do, but there is a panicky feeling. Praying to the Lord, finally the storm ceased and I got out by the interstate. And I pulled into a convenience store out there on I-65 because I wanted to get my wits together. That was quite horrendous. And I went in there and I said, man, that was a bad storm. And the guy says, where'd you come from? I said, I come from Frankfort. And he goes, no, you didn't. I said, yes, I did. He said, no, you didn't. I said, yes, I did. He said, you couldn't have come from Frankfort. There's a great big tree that's clear across that road. You couldn't have got through. And I said, well, here I am. And I'm thinking, how did I get here? Had to be God. I don't know how I did it. I know how he did it. He got me there. But while I was going through it, you have this in your humanness, feel like you're all alone. I'm saying this for a reason, because people get into situations and they panic. And I was talking I was talking Wednesday night about how this enemy wants to pressure us and get us in desperate situations so that we make totally stupid decisions. Right? You get in a desperate situation and you make a dumb decision trying to get out of it. Now you're worse than you were before. That's Satan's design. We need to look up no matter how we feel. We need to trust him no matter how we feel. He says we are to walk by faith and not by sight. And sometimes that's easier said than done. But if he said it, told us to do it, we can do it. So we need to pray for grace to be able to do that. Notice he came to their rescue and they called upon him. Let that be a lesson to all of us. When we get in a storm we cannot control. And the Bible says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Shall be saved for all eternity, for starters, if you're lost. Shall be saved from your situation. If you're in a situation, you need to cry out to him. This is what he's wanting. He's wanting you to cry out. And he's also building faith where you can come against things in his name and bind them. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatever you loosed on earth shall be loosed in heaven. That's the promise he gave Peter in the church. Let's see what happens next. Then they awoke him and said, Teacher, do you not care that we're perishing? Then he arose and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, Peace be still. And the wind ceased and there was a great calm. Yes, we all have times when we wonder if God cares. But he does. Don't ever doubt that, no matter what you're going through, ever. Sometimes he simply wants us to be reminded that we cannot do anything without him. It is very dangerous for us to think we can handle every situation of our life on our own. I was thinking of what Carolyn was saying about the young man that said, I got money, I did this on my own. We always come to a place in our life, no matter how self-sufficient you think you are, you're going to come to that place, a dead end where you can't do any more, and you're going to need God. Even people around you might fail you. This is why you need to have God always. He never fails. Someday I'm going to have this brother give his testimony. This man was shot right through, and he's sitting with us today. He's got a powerful testimony. He can testify what I'm talking about today. There he is. There he goes. He's showing me.
Where was I?
I
just got released. I went in 1:00 p.m. to a emergency. St. Vincent's and Anderson. From the emergency to the 5th floor, everybody there knows me. Because these scars, when I got them, did not feel good. But when I go there and they say, what's this from? I get to say just what you did. And I got to witness to every nurse and doctor in there.
Look at this man. Yeah.
From emergency to the 5th floor, she's wheeling me up in her wheelchair. She goes, thank you so much for today. And I said, can I tell you something, young lady? She said, yes. It wasn't good luck. It was the blessing of God I'm here. And then I got to go upstairs. So from 30 to 50, I got in 48 hours. I got to minister to them because they're wore out taking care of us in there.
Now, this is a man of faith. Here he is. Now, if I went to the hospital, I think I'd be more praying. Who knows what God would do?
My daughter told me I couldn't come.
Well, here you are, clear from Anderson.
She's at work and I'm in church.
And he's driven clear down from... because he has faith in the one that can do all things.
So you said faith. That's where we start, right?
Right.
Faith, right?
Right.
Reality. I'm not walking faith anymore. I'm walking in reality to what this life has given me.
I wish the stream could have heard this. Someday I'm going to have you. I'd like you to come up here and give your complete. You've got a tremendous testimony. Believe me, this man has a tremendous testimony. Jesus said, I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. Now, when you first read this as a young Christian, you think, man, I'm helpless. That's not a really good... No, the more you live, the more you're thankful, It all depends on him. It all depends on, I couldn't run the universe. I'd have it all in chaos, right? It's comforting to me because the flip side of that is I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Without him, you can't do anything. It takes the pressure off of us. We're just asked to trust. Trust him no matter what state we're in. Jesus is always pleased by faith in him, and when we don't have faith, it's impossible to please him. In fact, I believe it hurts his heart when we doubt him in our storms of life, especially when you've seen him deliver you over and over again. In this passage out on the boat, he said this to them, "Why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith?" And they feared exceedingly and said one to another, "Who can this be that even the wind and the sea obey him?" Is God Almighty in a human body in the form of his Son, Jesus Christ. Now, when they saw Jesus do so many things and miracles, perhaps they thought his power was limited. They didn't realize that he also had power over the weather, too. They saw him heal people, raise people from the dead. Now they're thinking, man, he even has power over the weather. It was the same Jesus in that little Pentecostal lady that rebuked that tornado right around her house. Same Jesus. And she would tell you that. But she had faith. She stared that thing down, man. I love that. Of course Jesus had power over the storm because Jesus was and is also God. John 1:10, he was in the world and the world was made by him and the world knew him not. There's so much to learn from this entire passage, church, but let's bring it into our own lives today as I get ready to close this message. I ask the question, how is your life today? How's your life out there? Do you worry about that you're capsizing? Are things out of control and you found out that you no longer have the control of your life you thought you had? I want you to learn what happened to these disciples and apply it to you. You are no different. Jesus knows your situation. He knows about it even before you walked into it. He also knows what will happen tomorrow. He also knows maybe the bad choices you made to get you there. But we have a forgiving God, and if you confess that sin, he will forgive it and cleanse you from all unrighteousness. So if you're in a place today where you made bad choices and you think you're doomed, I have a Jesus that took the punishment of that bad choice you made on the cross. Give it to him. Let him change your life. He knows what will happen tomorrow. He knows what will happen if you invite him into your chaos. He also knows what will happen to you if you don't. Now, you have another choice today. You can continue to try to fix it. You can continue to struggle. You can continue in your trouble and try to do it on your own. And you're going to fail. You're going to ultimately fail. Or you'll get yourself in worse. Why not take the better route? You have a choice today. Cry out to Jesus regardless of your fears, regardless of how hopeless some things look, or you can continue to, or quit thinking you can continue to try to save yourself, in which you cannot. For those who are not born again today, and you know I always have to go there because my biggest concern is for those that don't know Jesus. Christians, you should know this truth, but you need to be reminded of it. Those disciples believed in Jesus. They were following him, but they still feared. But he still had to teach them. But if you're not born again, if you don't know today, if you died, whether you would go to heaven or hell, you don't know if you'll perish or not, I'm going to tell you, if you don't call on Jesus and cry out to him like those men in that boat, you're going to capsize and you're going to perish. You'll indeed perish if you don't call on Jesus to save your very soul and to save you from all your sins, whether you want to admit them or not. The good news is that you still have breath. You can call on him now and let him make everything right in your life and save you for all eternity. It's very simple. You don't have, there's not a perfect little prayer you got to find. You got to be like these men in the boat. Jesus, save me or I'll perish. Jesus, save me. I don't want to perish. You died on the cross for my sins. You conquered death. You have the power in your hands to give me eternal life. I'm calling on you to do that right now. Please come into my heart, take away my sins, and save me. It's that simple. Now, to those today who are believers here today or watching me online, if you think Jesus is asleep and don't care about your present trouble. He is not. He's not asleep, and he does care. Have faith, do not doubt, and call on him. He can say to your storm, peace be still, and it will be calm. If he empowers you by the Holy Ghost, you can speak on his authority to that storm and say, peace be still, in Jesus' name. But if you're not there at that level, call on him and ask him. He can speak to that storm for you. Same difference. Doesn't matter which way you do it. Will you ask him to do that today? And I'm going to leave you with that question. Whatever you're going through, will you cry out to Jesus and say, save me in this storm? Save me. I feel like I'm perishing. Whether you're saved or not, he will hear you. Come to him just as you are. He says, he that comes to me, I will in no wise cast out. Amen? Amen. Everybody stand. We're going to go out with a joyful song that I have programmed in there. You know it. And we need to learn to praise God in the middle of our storms and trust him. Amen? So let's go out singing this song. If you have a need, the altar's always open. We'll have people come pray with you. It will be open. Otherwise, we'll sing the song and we'll dismiss today. Thank you for coming. Go ahead and play Raise a Hallelujah, okay? Hallelujah. Raise a hallelujah. Sing louder, church. I want to hear you really sing before we leave. Here's a melody. I raise a hallelujah. Heaven comes to fight for me. I'm gonna sing in the middle of the storm. Louder and louder, you're gonna hear my praises roar. Up from the ashes, hope will arise. Death is defeated, the King is alive. Amen. I raise a hallelujah. With everything inside of me, I raise a hallelujah. I will watch the darkness flee. I raise a hallelujah. In the middle of a mystery, I raise a hallelujah. Fear, you lost your hold on me. Amen. I'm gonna sing in the middle of the storm. Louder and louder, you're gonna hear my praises roar. Up from the ashes, hope will arise. Death is defeated, the King is alive. Sing a little louder. Sing a little louder. Sing a little louder. Let's sing a little louder. Sing a little louder. Heaven comes to fight for me. Sing a little louder. in the presence of my enemies. Sing a little louder than I am believe. Sing a little louder. Heaven is a melody. Let's sing a little louder. Heaven comes to fight for me. Sing a little louder. I'm gonna sing in the middle of the storm. Louder and louder, you're gonna hear my praises roar. Up from the ashes, hope will arise. Death is defeated. The King is alive. Amen. Let's give the Lord a shout. Let's give him a hand clap. Praise him this morning. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Amen. I'm going to ask Mary Bloom to dismiss us this morning. I hope you got something from this today, because you're going to surely hit a storm. But remember, he's there all the time, and he can take care of it. Amen.
God is so good. Just praise his holy name. I just want to emphasize something that Pastor said right at the end today. And all during worship, he kept giving me this scripture, John 6:37. It says, all that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will nowise cast out. All during worship, he gave me that scripture. And I was going to say something, but then I sat back down and I was like, well, Lord, it's in your hands. But that's the scripture he finished his message on. So I just praise God for that he confirms his word. And that if you're out there, even here today, whatever you're going through, just come as you are. Just come as you are. He's there waiting for you with his arms open, and he loves you. So, Lord, we just thank you for this day. We thank you for your word. Your word is truth. We thank you for confirmation. And, Lord, I just praise you for all that you do. I just ask you to be with us today and keep us today. And just keep us this week as we go forth, Lord God. And for anyone who's out there listening, Lord God, let them know that you are there for them. Let them know that you are there waiting, that all they have to do is just knock and you will answer. So we just give you all the glory and honor and praise in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you. You're dismissed.
While the world looks upon me as I struggle alone, they say I have nothing, but they are so wrong. In my heart, I'm rejoicing. How I wish they could see. Thank you, Lord, for your blessings on me. There's a roof up above me. I've a good place. There's food on my table and shoes on my feet. You gave me your love, Lord, and a fine family. Thank you, Lord, for your blessings on me. I know I'm not wealthy, and these clothes, they're not new. I don't have much money, but Lord, I have you, and that's all that matters, though the world may not see. Thank you, Lord, for your blessings on me.
Y'all sing it with me.
Thank you, Lord, for your love.
There's a roof up above.
I have a good place to sleep.
I have a good place to sleep.
There's food on my table.
There's food on my table.
Shoes on my feet.
Shoes on my feet.
You gave me your love, Lord.
You gave me your love, Lord. And a fine family.
And I'm
there's a roof up above me. I've a good place to sleep. There's food on my table.